is true, he is coming. If I see him in the clouds, better day than a cloudy day like this, the sun breaking out, will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Calm after the storm, the kingdom of Christ after a time of darkness and sadness. What a refreshing that will be. All right, who knows what book of the Bible we're going to be reviewing today. 2 Samuel, that's correct. All right, so we dealt with 1 Samuel last week. But it wasn't that one. does anybody remember what the theme of Samuel is? The whole book of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel together. Yes, that's correct. God honors the lowly, but he casts down the proud. We saw how that worked in the life of Saul, and we saw the character of Hannah. She is afflicted, and God answers her prayer and raises her up. And it starts off, the book of Samuel starts off with her prayer in chapter 2 in response to God answering her. And so that really is a picture of Samuel's birth, his growth in the temple, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her hymn is a picture of Mary's hymn. These themes are building towards the Lord Jesus Christ very clearly. Then we saw how Saul demonstrated that. He exalted himself in pride. He was just step after step after step of disobedience. But he did not wait for Samuel. Then he did not kill the Amalekites. And he ended up all the way to the place of seeking witch, trying to kill the anointed one, David. Dying in battle. That's where the book of 1 Samuel ends. So they divided it. It's a good dividing place because about there in the middle we find that Samuel is, Saul is gone. Now the next character to be raised up. Let's dive into David. The key chapter in. Let's go to the key verse. All right, let's start with the key verse. Turn to 2 Samuel 22. I don't know if it's the key verse to the, but it really does capture the main theme. And the reason why we're doing this is what we looked at last time. The key verse was in relationship to Eli, God bringing down his house. 2 Samuel 22, 28. This is a part of a psalm. This is Psalm 18. Find it repeated in the scripture because it's recorded in 2 Samuel. And verse 28, it really crystallizes this theme that the psalm is really building up about the personal experience of David, exemplifying this truth. It says, "And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, thou mayest redeem." What I want you to kind of see is, you start reading in 1 Samuel, and boom, you're confronted with a poem and a hymn that introduces that theme to us. And when you read all the way through Samuel, it ends at the very end, so this is kind of the appendices of the book, it ends with a poem of David, and he is relating his own experience the same truth. So this is a beautiful kind of bookends, either side, we catch him on this theme. So, the key chapter in the whole book is going to be 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is the chapter that's dealing with the Davidic covenant. And when God speaks to him and makes a promise to him, David's response in chapter 7, verse 18 is this: "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought?" Isn't it interesting? That sounds exactly the way Saul was. Is Benjamin not the least of all the tribes? It's not my house the least of all these? Here, when David hears of the grace of God, he is like, "Who am I to receive such a blessing?" And you see in that response, the heart of David, the humility that he has in response. He started off. He was just the shepherd of the way. He was the least of all of them. He wasn't even worthy enough to be called for Samuel. And so he went through all, I think, seven, something, eight of them. And he said, okay, if it's not this one, it's not this one. David wasn't even there. And he was a young lad. And against the great giants, he trusted in God. He believed him. God raised him up and gave him victory. And yet in his victory, Saul began to persecute him. And ultimately we see it kind of culminating through the time called Saul is going down. David is being lifted up and exalted. And it really does in some sense culminate here in chapter 7 with this eternal covenant that God makes with David, that through him, the seed. So of all the things we've been talking about, going all the way back to Genesis, this is a high point pointing forward in the plan of God. The New Testament is constantly referencing back this chapter. What's interesting to me is, through his humble beginnings, David, his life is shaped so that he mirrors the life of Jesus. You know that Jesus Christ was anointed. David was anointed. But was he received as king? He was rejected and he had to spend time on the run. And here's this element of Jesus Christ comes. And he is anointed with the Spirit of God. He is the rightful king. And his own people do not receive him. So in some sense, he's a king in exile. Coming back to receive the right. So what's really beautiful is that coronation of all the tribes finally come together and acknowledge him. It starts off with a few tribes down to Judah and Benjamin. They are acknowledging him and finally division, reconciliation. Everybody meets him and exalts him. You know what happens in David's life? He sins against God in a high-handed way, maybe in a greater way than you could ever point to Saul's life. The matter of Bathsheba and then Uriah killing. The consequences of that moment in chapter 11 begin to flow all the way. You've got Amnon, his wicked sin. He follows in his father in regard to Absalom follows his father in regards to his. He kills his brother. In fact, Absalom is. It's interesting. Here's a little fact on this. In 2 Samuel, Absalom is mentioned 102 times. In Chronicles, parallel, mentioned 3 times. There's a big emphasis here in this because ultimately I believe Absalom is the. Stole the hearts by deception. Yet he is foolishly deceived by his pride. He ends hanging by his beauty. He is so proud. He becomes the means of his pride. He is cast out. You see the humiliation of his pride. He really epitomizes the aspect of his pride. So all of this, we see something unique. You say, oh man, David's just like Saul. And yet, what's so beautiful is he comforts. Humility and repentance. The bony finger of Nathan the prophet was stuck in his nose and he said, thou art the man. He didn't barter with God like Saul did. He didn't try to lessen the consequences. He accepted the responsibility and he repented. It did not turn the consequences. But we see, even when Absalom comes in like a flood, and David is sneaking out of Jerusalem in humility, he doesn't try to stand and fight, he doesn't want to have anything hurt, and his whole spirit is, God is in control. Even when throws stones at him and starts blaspheming, he says, the Lord is these are the circumstances. I just must submit to him. See what someone really wants. Oftentimes, repentance is seen by how we can have consequences for us. Find a person who wants to barter, wants to try to lessen all they're all worried about. Person who repents, they just care about the mission. God said, what's beautiful is in the story of David, we see humility on both sides. He shows you how to be humble from an early age, humble in young beginnings. Walk with your God, look to Him, and He will lift you. But you know what He also does? He shows us how to be. And we've tasted the bitter fruit of our pride and our complaint, and how to turn that. God will raise you up, and God does not have to do it. God fills you. He has a son to sit upon his throne. He is restored. Absalom is slain. He is brought back over the river. All of the people, it's like a second coronation, and he's brought back in this. And those that have in rebellion, Sheba, one last attack against him. He is slain. He is seen. Throughout this story, you see characters of pride. Absalom, Nabal, Goliath, Amnon, Ahithophel. Ahithophel being the type of Judas and Saul. And Sheba. But there's also characters of humility. Jonathan, Abigail. David's mighty. Think of those mighty men, but who were the mighty men?
I can't remember.
When did the mighty men come to David? After he became king? Before he became king, right? When Saul was his friend? No, when Saul was his enemy. These were the people who had debts. These are the people who had trouble. And they came and they said, things aren't going well for us, but we're going to align ourselves with David. A group of misfits. Unpromising beginning. And yet, do you know that Samuel ends with two lists of these mighty men who God raised up to be warriors? They have a place. God, many of them become Gentiles. The final story is the story of David, for some unknown reason, God says that the Lord stirred him up. Samuel says that Satan stirred him up. God said that the Lord tempted him. Very interesting to put those stories together. But you see that in hardness, he decided to cry. God sends a judgment or accusation. He humbled him. Three days of plague come. And in that, the plague begins to come, and it was so great that it came upon Jerusalem. The angel of the Lord coming with, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord came upon the person of the Lord, and he stopped. And David saw him, and he came and he bought that threshing floor, and he took the oxen and the wood, and he made a sacrifice to the Lord. That place was the very place. God was going to accept sacrifice on this spot. And he offered a sacrifice to the angel of the Lord, Lord Jesus, who himself receives the sacrifice, knowing that he someday would come. He was very close to be the sacrifice himself that would satisfy and stop. So we see God's plan to bring his son to the line of David, a humble king who would give himself. David is the type of Christ. And what is the attribute to which God focused all of our attention through an entire book? It is. we praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's walk in and know the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and